Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mel and Ellen Show. I'm very excited to be here today. We're in beautiful Florida, and the weather is finally getting lovely, not a lot of humidity. And Mel's not exactly with us yet. We're waiting and trying to get her on with us. There must be some sort of technical difficulty. So you got me for a while, and I welcome you, and I'm so excited that you're here with us today. I think my daughter's listening this afternoon, and she is in Indiana, so I'm going to give a shout-out to her. Say hi. Welcome, welcome. Call in if you want, or my friend Connie in New York, and all the people from the chamber who support me down here. Welcome, and thank you for being here. The name of the show is, or our theme for today is Spontaneous Intuition, and I think we had a discussion about that before. Way back in the beginning of the shows, and so we're going to kind of touch base with that a little bit, and I just would welcome you to call in with your questions and tell us, you know, what you think of the programming, and I'm delighted to talk to you or answer questions on here for you. So we'll just go on with spontaneous intuition. And I think that that is the idea of what is that little voice inside of you? What do you do when you're sitting in a traffic light and the light turns green, but the voice inside of you says, don't move? And all of a sudden, you just know you can't. You just know you can't. And then a car whips through. And in that instant, that voice inside of you, that intuition, that whisper from spirit, got your attention and said, wow, don't go because it's dangerous. Or your guardian angel. And you listened. And in listening, you were able to accomplish a real safety factor. So I would think that we all have experienced it. We have all not listened to it and paid the consequences of that. And we have all at some time listened to it, and it has led us in new pathways. And I get that a lot from people I work with and read for. They'll come in and they'll say, you know, I have this idea or this thought, and I'm just here really because I want to check with you and see if you have the same information. And I really honor people who do that, who live by their intuition and really work at expanding that side of them. And so how do you do that? So how do you go about expanding your horizons, expanding your ability to sit and listen peacefully in a really turbulent world? And I think we'll talk a little bit about expanding intuition. And everybody knows that they have it. Everybody understands that they rely on it. And yet, I don't know that they call it intuition or sixth sense. You know, some people just go, oh, I just knew. I just knew this was going to happen. Here I am. So, how do you go about training yourself or learning or even acknowledging it? And I think that one of the things that I always suggest to people, I teach classes on intuition, is sit quietly and in a group of people that you're friendly with, you know, but maybe don't know 100% well. Maybe sit with somebody and write your impression of what you think is going on in their life or something about them that is not known. And then check with that person and say, you know, this is my impression. This is what I thought. What do you think of this? And is this, you know, true? And what I found when I teach my classes is that people get very perceptive information just by sitting with the person quietly and is tuning in, if you want to call it that, tuning into their energy. And you'd be surprised how much people know and can bring forth and say, I had one lady in a class that sat down with another lady and she said, gee, I think that you have three children. No, it just feels like, and I know that you said you only have two, but I just really feel like you have three children. Well, she did have three children, and one of them had crossed over, and she never talked about it because it was too painful. But here this lady had picked up that energy. So it's a really valuable experience to test your intuition, test those things that you know. Now, a lot of people think that meditation and, oh, gee, vegetarian diet, drinking lots of water, you know, clear the system. And I think meditation is always good just from the sure standpoint that it relaxes you. But I'm not sure that the other stuff makes you more tuned in or less tuned in than whether you eat a whole diet or not. Some people, it used to be, the old school used to really believe that unless you prescribed a certain diet, did these things, that you couldn't be intuitive. But that's turned out to be sort of a fallacy. Now, meditation is when you clear your mind, your soul, your body, your spirit, and sit peacefully with spirit. And, see, there's lots of ways of doing that, and there's lots of formats for that too. What I like to do is get myself in a quiet place. I love to have a lovely cup of tea and sit still. I don't do music. I do breathing, and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But I will bring into meditation a question so that I want an answer to something. I want a guideway. I want a signpost. I want something to move me in a direction. And I want spirit to guide me. And so I'll bring the question, usually written down, so that I don't have to keep repeating it. And I'll put it in my lap or put it on the desk in front of me. And I turn my lights a little low and get myself very comfortable. And just kind of spend time thanking spirit and then dwelling on the question so that I'm sure that I can get the information I need. Now, I find that meditation for me is getting the answers, which is the process of listening to spirit. And my best way or my most active way of doing that is by writing. As soon as I get in a very peaceful space, I'll allow myself to write. And a lot of people will call that channeled writing, spirit writing through you, your higher self, your consciousness, your higher knowledge. But it really does work very well, and especially when you're looking for a specific answer. You could just sit and handwrite until you stop writing. And as soon as you stop writing, you can go back and look at what you've written, and you'll really find a very clear answer to your question. And it's a good way of getting your answers. And I was laughing. Lily Tomlin once said, when we talk to God, they call it praying. But when we say that God talks to us, they call it schizophrenic. And I just thought that was so funny because we can talk to God. He does talk back. And it is a matter of just finding that way that works for you. Some people hear the voice of spirit in their head. Some people need to write it. For me, it's writing. It's always longhand. By the way, I will say that if you're going to do channeled writing, now I know that the folks that did Abraham Hicks did it on a computer and they typed. But even they said that their fingers started going so fast they were typing. It became a garble of letters. So I always longhand. I always sit down with lined paper. Lined paper works really well in a pen. And you just write. And then you can transcribe it when you're finished. But it's such a unique process. And so that's how I meditate. Now, a lot of people just sit quietly and empty their mind and don't come with a question, and that works all right too. It's a good way of being very peaceful. I know that meditation lowers your blood pressure, and it creates an ability for you to feel connected. And I, for those of you who are churchgoers, you know, when you leave church on Sunday and you have that wonderful grounded feeling that you're so connected back into spirit. And that's really what meditation, you should walk away from that experience feeling very, very, very full and grounded and pleased and comfortable in the world around you, peaceful. So breathing is a very, 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 very important part of meditation. And what I tell people to do when I'm working with them teaching, I'll tell them, breathe in through your nose and count eight. Then you hold that breath for the count of eight, and then you blow it out through your mouth for the count of eight. And the reason, and I have people do that four or five times. Just sit quietly, count eight, hold, count eight, breathe out, count eight. And the reason I have you count is because while you're counting, you're entertaining your mind, which gives your mind a vacation. If you don't count, your mind will go clicking along, thinking thoughts, pushing things around, I've got to go pick up the kids, I've got to get the car fixed, I have to do this, and you don't get that break. But if you can do that every 3 or 4 hours, these are what I call little meditations, it will heighten your intuition. It will bring you into a sharper focus with spirit. But at the end of the day, you're not exhausted. It gives you a chance to take a break. And by breathing, you're filling your lungs and your system with air and oxygen and filling it, and you're giving your brain this wonderful oxygen boost. But by counting, you're giving your brain a break. And so you get to take this little rest. And people who do that have come back to me and said, wow, I just did that for, you know, 4 or 5 breaths sitting at my desk, got my eyes closed, and I came back so refreshed. It's better than any of the energy shots. This is a shot from the spirit that keeps you going. But it also opens those receptors so that you're more intuitively inclined. I know that some people who meditate afterwards will get very strong aura readings. They can see auras in other people because they have this clean slate, this mind full of oxygen that's really, really well, you know, really focusing them on things. Again, I'd like to invite you to call in if you have a question. I'll answer questions on the spontaneous intuition, or I will be happy to answer a question for you that would, you know, come up and you would like to have a real quick little reading. So we're hoping that Mel will come and join us in a little bit. I'm not sure really what happens. So, and at this particular moment in time, if you want to go to BBS, the number will show up there on your screen. I don't have it in front of me. And I would love to hear from you. So go to BBS radio, and the number will be there for you to call in on. And I would love to hear from you. So so let's go back to the spontaneous intuition. Now, I was talking just briefly about channel writing and meditation and, you know, getting that heightened level of being connected to spirit. And I think that when you use it, When you relax yourself, we are in such a busy world with so many things going on, and I think that we listen. There's iPhones, music, and downloads, and computers, and I really do suggest that people give themselves a break, at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. Just give yourself a break from the noise and the hum and the blare and the buzz and get yourself quiet, and that will help you start the process of bringing your intuition to a higher level. Everybody, absolutely everybody, is intuitive. And those people who choose to do just a little, it's like a muscle, it's like your heart muscle. You get out every day and you exercise, exercise, exercise like crazy. So you do the same thing with your intuition. If you exercise it, it will grow. And if you don't exercise it, it will just stay as it is and it will be there when you need it. Intuition ties you to your guardian angel. Intuition ties you to your higher angel. And there is actually points where if you really sit quietly and work with them, you can actually feel their vibrations and their energy. So another thing that you can do to work with your intuition to make it stronger, get yourself a tarot deck and work with it and learn the cards. And then do a little reading every day. Do three cards every day. And I used to do it this way, body, soul, spirit. And I'd lay the cards out and write down my impression of what that might mean to me during the day. And then at the end of the day, I'd go back and reread it and see how valid it was. It's a way of opening your mind to the possibilities of what spirit has to bring you during the day. So that's another way of working. So let's go off in a different direction. The spontaneous intuition is really what Mel wanted to talk about, and so we'll talk about how that works for you. I think one of the biggest questions is, so if my intuition is working so well, why does this happen? Well, it could be that your intuition was working really well, and that is why whatever happened to you happened, because that's exactly where you needed to be in that particular place and time. And a lot of times we'll hear, a lot of times spirit will move you in a different direction, and you'll do something completely different. For example, you'll walk out the front door, get to go into your car to drive to work, and you end up going back into the house and getting a second cup of coffee because it just feels like the right thing to do. And then you get to work, and you never know what happened. You never know why that happened, that you went back in. And maybe it made you a few minutes late to work. What changed? But that spirit's way of leading you into a better place or into a safer place. And you just have to acknowledge that something was different because you changed what you were going to do. And that's really what Spirit is trying to have you do by talking to you, is by helping you find your path in safety and peace and follow your heart. Now, Spirit will not abandon you if you don't do that. If you choose to follow your own path and not listen to Spirit and not do meditation, Spirit will still stay with you. It just, the message isn't quite as loud. So I think that I want to go back to different ways of using spontaneous intuition. Is another thing to do is using a pendulum. And this is really fun because it is, again, contacting spirit, contacting your higher power, allowing your inner knowledge to work. And a pendulum is anything that's on a string and has a heavy object at the bottom and is balanced. And what you do is you hold the string between two fingers of both your left and your right hand and let the object fall down in front of you. And to establish a depth, and this is wonderful when you see it happen because you really know everything is working. You ask a question to yourself that you know is absolutely a yes question. My name is Ellen. And you wait, and very slowly but surely, the pendulum will start to move. Now, for some people, if the answer is yes, it will rotate in a clockwise manner. And if the answer is no, it'll rotate in a counterclockwise manner. In my case, it doesn't rotate in a clockwise manner. It just swings back and forth like yes, or side by side like a head shaking no. And I always, always check first with spirit. Is this, you know, is this a good time? And I wait for my yes answer, and I always say thank you with gratitude. And then the neat part of using your intuition this way is you can get very, very specific about your question. And in fact, it's very, very, very important that you do get specific. And I'll give you an example. So you sit down and you say, may I call my mother? And the answer is yes. But when you call, she's not there. And you go, well, I thought I could call my mother, but the way you asked it was, may I? Well, yes, you may. Should I? Could I? Will she be there? Those are not questions that you ask. You need to get very specific. But using a pendulum is a very, very important way of getting very dramatic information back. In fact, the American Association for Dowsers is a wonderful organization. You can go to them online. And they have workbooks and rods. And dowsing is a very old-fashioned, centuries back. It's called water witching. And it was done with a willow rod looking for water. And then it was, people use coat hangers, people use copper. And then it evolved into using a pendulum. And they would find water. And then they would use the rod to say how deep they would have to dig and how pure the water was. And it's very useful information. So that is another way of using your intuition and training it. And I would suggest that you really do go to the American Association of Dowsers and find out their information, because it's fun. And in fact, there are different groups that meet in all over the United States, and in Sonoma County, where I used to be, the people that belong to their particular group used to douse for lost children, and they had a really, really good percentage of finding them. So it's a very useful and helpful and way of participating in service. And there's also muscle testing. Now, muscle testing takes two people, and is also a way of using your innate intelligence for specific answers, for answering your body's questions, or for questions around you. So it's there's lots of ways of making your intuition grow and learning to trust it and learning to understand it. Again, I invite you to call in, and please go to the webpage, BBS Radio, and it will be the number will be listed there for you, so that you can call and ask me a question. I'll be happy to answer it for you. So last week, I think we talked about altars, and that's another way of building intuition, is using your creative energy and creative mind to actually tangibly put your hands on things and lay them out for spirit and for you to see. And really, intuition is intention. Every time you bring your intention back to those things that are very important to you and that you want to know the answers for, this is how you make your intuition grow. And improve your skill in actually being a participant in the community. The more you can rely on your intuition, the more peaceful you become, the more energy you have, and the more you are capable of serving your family and friends around you. I'm going to kind of move from this topic a little bit right now. I'm going to move over to one of the ones that's been on my mind a lot in the last month or so. And that's about how to continue to be a light worker in some very challenging and dramatically difficult times. And what made me think about that was recently when we were going through such difficult times in September with so many upheavals internationally, upheavals in our political world, upheavals all over the place. It got to be very, very overwhelming and difficult to continue to get up every day and put a smile on your face and say, I'm going to go forward. This is going to be a good day. So, and I actually had told many of my clients earlier this year in January, I said, I really thought that the early spring would be good and that the other late spring, early summer would be a little bit bumpy. Summer would be nice and the fall would be very, very difficult, very bumpy, lots of things to be aware of and just hang on and get through it. And that maybe by the end of the year, things would straighten out next year, being a better place to be. And I know that astrologically, September 29th, 28th, 29th, 30th, going into the full moon and coming out of the full moon were very, very horrific days. Lots of grand crosses and grand squares and oppositions. And I know that a lot of people had just a really difficult time. And so that kind of got me working on how do we stay balanced? How do we stay in light? And so I think the first thing we need to do is, what is a light worker? And that takes us back to our original topic. Anybody who uses their intuition and works in the world by faith and by strength of spirit and by the code of truth and integrity is a light worker. And light workers help other people by just being who they are. Now, there's lots of ways of being a light worker. You could be walking down the street and seeing somebody who's having a very difficult time and just, you know, smile at them. And they're grouchy and grumpy and they're frowning and they're unhappy. And they look at you and you make eye contact and you smile at them. And your smile makes them feel better. You can see it. It registers. You look them in the eye. That's being a light worker. You have brought the truth of spirit, the goodness of spirit, into somebody's life. And it is such a big deal when we do this. And it only takes a few seconds of time to do that. It is very hard to hold on to doing that in a day where everything seems to be going topsy-turvy and upside down. But it not only does your body good to stay there in the light, but it does the other person you're working with a lot of good to have them also in the light with you. Now, being a light worker, I'm not talking of just doing service. Service is wonderful. Nurses do service. Doctors do service, mechanics do service, gardeners do service, and that's really wonderful. But a light worker goes to the soul of the person and goes to where the need is. It's an empathy, it's sympathy, it's something, it's the intuition that lets you know that the person that you're standing next to needs a smile, needs a pat on the back, needs you to acknowledge that they're there. I can use a very little example. I was working out at a gym a couple of days back, and this lady that comes in all the time, always happy, always smiling, she just looked really, really, really unhappy and very stressed. And I used my intuition and sat quietly, and I thought, this lady needs something. And so after I finished, I went over and I said, are you all right? Is there something I can do for you? And she looked a little confused and she smiled at me and she said, I'm not feeling well. I have a very bad headache. And I said, oh, okay. I said, you just looked like you needed something and I wasn't sure what it was. And she was absolutely delighted. First of all, that someone cared, that someone was noticing that she was unhappy, that someone had been paying that much attention, that they saw the subtle differences in her behavior. That's a light worker. Another way of being a light worker is you're in a group of people and someone starts a grumpy conversation or being really mean about a situation. And it's not up to you to stop them or tell them to go away or, you know, make a big show of it. You just don't have to participate and just quietly remove yourself from it. Because by taking the negative energy out, then you're not creating the darkness. And you're allowing that little bit of light to just be a part of that conversation. And it's so important that we don't jump on board, and it's very hard these days not to go somewhere where someone isn't angry or upset. And does that include doing services, helping people who might be struggling with children or out of work and that kind of thing? Yeah, that's all really, really important, because doing the work that Spirit tells us that we should be doing, which is helping each other. So that takes us back to the meditation part, because if you're not full, if you're not 100% full of light, then you can't give it. You have nothing to give. So you need to sit down and fill up. And the way you do that, and this is a meditation thing that I teach also in my classes, you get in a quiet place and you get very calm. You take the cleansing breath 3 or 4 times. And as you're doing that, you fix an imaginary line up into the universe and you find the white light and you bring it down from the universe into the top of your head, down through your whole body, all the way down through your feet, down into the earth, tighten a big knot so that you're absolutely 100% grounded. And that the light comes all the way up through your feet, out through the top of your head, into the stars. And now you're filled with light, and you're calm, and you're peaceful. And you have light to give away. If you can't do that for yourself, if you're not in a place that you can do that, then you're actually better off not giving anything away, because you're depleting yourself so dramatically that you won't have anything left to give. So it's really important that you stay connected to light and filled with light, and so that you have something to give to the person around you. Again, I invite you to call in if you are close to a phone, have a question for me, or want to talk about something else, or have a question that you'd like me to answer as a psychic. So, again, please go to PBS Radio, and the number will be listed there for you. And you can go on and call in, and I'll be happy to answer your questions for you. So another form of meditation is doing rote prayers. And rote prayers would be like returning, doing the Lord's Prayer over and over again. Or if you understand the rosary, doing the rosary, the Hail Mary over and over again. Or the 23rd Psalm over and over again. Where you have it memorized and you just keep using it over and over and over again. By giving your mind words, it stops thinking. And when it stops thinking, you're able to relax for a few minutes. And it's amazing what will happen if you take 5 minutes in the morning and just sit down and sit quietly somewhere, do the breathing and do a couple of prayers. You get up from that, you walk away, and then all of a sudden you get these marvelous ideas that you had no idea you were even thinking. And it's come because you've left yourself open and you've let spirit be a part of your life and enter and allowed you to listen. And listening is such an important part of working with spirit that you can be filled with the answers and your life gets so much easier and so much more flexible. And I think that people who use their intuition and use their dynamic heart to live are much more flexible. They certainly are less stubborn. And really, when you get down to it, you find yourself not fighting your way upstream so much because you're walking in a peaceful place and you're walking with spirit. So that you feel comfortable in your own skin. And you can see those people. When I say a light worker in a dark place, you can see them. When you're walking down the street, you look around. And I always laugh at Luke and my husband. We're such an odd lot, really, down here. But you watch people, and you can see those people who are filled with spirit. You can see those people who really enjoy doing things for people to lift them up and give them fullness in their own spirit. And it's just such a gift that we can share with other people. So let's go on. I want to go on to, we've covered dowsing. Dowsing is such a fun thing to do, and muscle testing is another way of using intuition. Automatic writing, as I said, is another way of using intuition. This one is a very fun one. Again, with people you might know but are not necessarily friendly, you don't know that, you don't know them very, very well. Have them write their name 3 times on a piece of paper. As their name is written, what is their legal name? And look at the signature and then tell the person the impressions of what you understand about them by looking at the signature. This is very fun because the signature gives away an awful lot of information about the person that you're looking at. People who drop their letters and their names by dropping the last letter down below a normal line usually are depressed or sad. People who make a big tail at the end are optimistic. It's a lot like palm reading. You just get this sense of some people who have a very big middle name and write it in large, big, bold letters I usually like the middle part of their life the best. That was the time that they were the happiest. And it gives you, so just spend some time playing with that and talking to friends about it because it gives you an idea. It gives you the ability to expand your knowledge of yourself, your knowledge of the people around you, and allowing yourself to explore the unknown and get to know people a little better. Another thing, of course, this is after you've practiced for a while and you've done some breathing and you've done some meditation, there's this feeling that when you stand next to somebody, you can actually feel their or their electric magnetic energy. And people who are very empathetic usually have a very big connection this way. And you can feel the emotions of the person next to you. And that will also give you an indication of how you can help them. Or again, just holding them up to light or praying for them. It's a unique feeling of energy. I say to people sometimes in one of my classes, if you want to feel spirit, actually feel spirit or angels, sit back and relax and get very quiet and then visualize a veil that separates you from spirit on the other side. And then put your hands out, palms up, and sneak them under the veil and just hold them there for a few minutes. And you'll feel spirit on the other side touching the top of your fingers. Anytime you get acknowledgement from spirit that it's there, spirit is there for you, spirit is guiding you, spirit is walking with you, your angels are there, your archangels are there. Anytime that you get that wonderful experience that you really can say, ah, spirit is there for me, it delights your soul, it allows your heart to be bigger, and it makes you more excited about learning more, about using your intuition and going to spirit and learning how to expand that natural talent that we all have. So it's very exciting, and some of these things are so easy to do, and they don't take very long. They only take a few minutes a day. And you can you can get so much benefit from it. It's just a wonderful way to go. Again, I offer you the opportunity to call in. I think this afternoon I'm going to end a little early because I don't have Mel to bounce off of. So probably I'm going to finish by the quarter to the hour and let some music play or whatever else is going to happen there. I don't know, our next meeting will be the 23rd of October, and Mel and I will be back together then, and we'll find out where she was off playing hooky today. And I do thank you for listening. I enjoy the hour with you very much, and I do, encourage you to call in or get on Mel's webpage or get to my email and let us know what you'd like to talk about, what you'd like to hear, and we'll try to certainly program guests and friends around that. We're going to be having guests on in the next few months so that we can expand everybody's knowledge on how we're growing spiritually and where we're going spiritually, and how the pathways are going to take us into the new year again. And we really are coming up on a new year soon, faster than we can count. And the holidays are coming, and we'll have some wonderful programs coming up on how to go through the holidays comfortably and what they really do mean spiritually, and how to set a wonderful altar table so that you can make the most benefit of both the family fun and celebration and the spirituality of what we're being led to do in our personal lives. So I am going to sign off. I thank you very much for listening. I enjoyed it very much. And I'm going to turn this back over to the BBS radio folks and thank them. And we'll talk to you on the 23rd, and have a wonderful, wonderful couple of weeks. And as I've been saying all along, put your hand in God's hand and go forward. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.